Army, welcome back to our channel, BBB Army Hearts to Hearts. I am Ruth.
And I'm Nicole.
BBB Army, we have an awesome guest with us today. For those of us who are watching, or if you're not and listening, we have the one and only Joe Flanders on our show.
Woohoo! Hello!
thank you so much for coming on our show. We deeply appreciate it.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Happy to chat with y'all.
We do have some questions for Joe about certain things here, so I guess we'll just dive on in. For any OG members in the BBB Army, you have probably recognized Joe from one thing that he did over the years on YouTube, which is his amazing series called Average Joe.
Yeah.
First of all, Joe, do you know how quotable your Average Joe series are? Like, seriously, like, OG fans, like, I will admit, Nicole and I may have binge watched all your seasons.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad it's bingeable.
I think, like, at least for me, my favorite quote, it came from Andy when I think it was season one. I don't remember what episode, but it was like baby vacation.
Yeah. That was in the script. I was looking at it. That was a written line. Many of the great lines were ad-libbed and we all came up with them together. But that one, yeah, I remember filming in that closet. That was the first season. Yeah, that was like the third episode or something like that. But yeah, that was, I knew we had a hit after that.
And Nicole was just telling me about her favorite one.
I personally like the one with Cece where he's like, it's got a preheat, just because it's like an inside joke with my husband and I, because I'm always about preheating and he's like, just throw it in.
Throw it in there. Yes, see, people have strong opinions about the preheat. And
they do.
You know, I set out to tackle those head on and try to represent all points of view on the preheating or not of frozen goods. Mm-hmm. So, like you, I actually have Cece's stance in real life. The wife is a little bit more toss it in. And so the debate continues. I'm telling you, I wanted to hit the hard topics head on with the show.
Love it.
And I'm glad that still we're talking about it.
I guess for in general, when it came to these amazing series of Average Joe, what was the inspiration behind it? Like, the idea came up?
It kind of just came out of necessity to create something. I'd been in LA for like 2 years and I worked as a PA on some stuff. It was not the glitz and glamour, which isn't surprising, you know, once you've been out here, but not that I was expecting to instantly have all of my dreams come true, but like, you know, it was like, oh, cool. I'm an associate producer on a mockumentary. That's kind of cool. But then they had me, I didn't know until that morning that I was going to be playing a homeless person. And they just sat me on a corner. And then the host of the mockumentary was like, this guy's homeless. Will you give him a sandwich? And it was the most demoralizing. Like, I felt terrible that we were fooling people. Some people, like, one guy got down on his knee and was like, so sincere and earnest, like, dude, you're gonna bounce back. You're gonna be okay. And I was like, thank you. I am getting paid for this right now, but I can't tell you that. One guy gave me his lunch. One guy just straight up was like, this isn't homeless. Look at him with his coiffed hair. And I didn't have coiffed. I just get out of the shower and it looks like this. But nevertheless, he was correct. I did not look homeless. Anyway, so that was the kind of shit that I was doing out here. And then I did get like a dream job working for Danny McBride and his production company. He was the guy from Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals. And they have that show on HBO right now, The Righteous Gemstones, mm-hmm. that kind of makes fun of churches. So I was the writer's assistant on Eastbound and Down. And I had been an intern, not getting paid, worked my way up to writer's assistant. And then I got fired like 6 weeks in and I didn't know why. And it turns out I just didn't have work ethic. I didn't know. It would be a situation where I'm walking around with Danny and he'd be like, oh yeah, we should really get something like that framed thing that's sitting on the ground over there. We should get that up on the wall. And, you know, I'd be like, yeah, we should. Not getting that he was telling me to do that as the, you know, like, yeah, we should do that. I agree. And so it's just like oblivious. And so that was kind of a low point. And it was then that I was like, I just need to do what I've been doing since I was like 14 and make something. And I had plenty of material with bad dates, awkward dates, not being able to tell somebody how I felt. I had all this stuff that some of it I needed to put on steroids and some of it was just fine as is. And that first season where I knock some, she says harder, and then I knock her head against the mirror. That actually happened. So I didn't even have to put that on steroids. I did make her head bleed. In reality, I didn't take her to the emergency room. She was like, "No, I never need to see you again." I think it wasn't like a massive, like, but there was blood because she said harder, and I didn't know what that meant. So anyway, most of it did not happen verbatim, but a lot of it was just I had had an. And even things that didn't happen to me, I just knew how to live in that awkward world. So it just felt very familiar and something that wouldn't be that hard to do. I thought about what resources I had available to me. My friend Lee, I'd known since high school. He was out here. Andy introduced me to Patrick Fogarty, and so he was down. And then I figured I'd have Andy, and because he and I had really kind of lost touch for years. Since he, I went, I moved to North Carolina right after high school from Ohio to go to college, North Carolina School of the Arts. And then Andy obviously moved out to LA. And so we had just lost touch. And so it was when he was, when he broke his ribs at the Hollywood and Highland show, I had just been fired. I think that's the right time. So I didn't have anything to do. Or no, I had just gotten off of a bad PA gig. So anyway, I didn't have a job lined up. He was in a hospital room, and so we spent like I went over there every day. So we like totally reconnected, and then that's when I started kind of putting the show together. And again, I was like, "Oh, that'll be fun." Like we obviously know each other; we have a rapport, even if we haven't seen each other.
It's
That's
okay.
kind of the backstory of how the show kind of came to be. It was just a necessity to create something, even if nobody ever saw it, just for my own like peace of mind. To create stuff with my friends, including Andy, and just kind of, it took us like 8 months to film that first season. We reshot some episodes because it just wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, or I came up with a better idea. And so, yeah, we would just shoot sporadically for months.
Well, that's really cool just to hear like the backstory of it because like Nicole and I were just even discussing like when we discovered Average Joe and she said like somewhere on Twitter, me it was probably YouTube and stuff, and we were just like Average Joe featuring Andy Biersack, and obviously high school us were like Andy Biersack.
Right.
It's funny because like we were watching this not knowing what this was about, but we enjoyed it and stuff, and it's funny now that you mentioned like the lady or who hurt her head on the mirror was actually happened in real life, and I'm like now looking back at it, ouch.
Yep, that was just one of my early dating stories. I mean, in the first episode of season two, there's a little arc where I'm dating like somebody who's clearly unwell, unstable, and I definitely was dating somebody who I am 99% sure was doing heroin, and I was unaware because she would only wear long sleeves, came out of the bathroom, everything was in slow motion. She was like, "Bleh," and just totally. And I took her to a friend's house. There was a girl that I wanted to date in college but wasn't into me. I wanted to impress her with this attractive girl that I was dating. And then the girl I was briefly dating just like went to the bathroom, came out, and then just like melted onto the ground and talked to my friend's cat. And so that was me impressing. See what you could have had? Yeah, I'm dating. Look who I'm dating now. And we had to leave the party. So again, that episode is not verbatim, but I just found myself, I think it was because my standards were so low and I was so lonely that I was just like, "Ah,
The episodes that came from your life, your stuff are pretty funny to watch now. So,
yes. Yeah, there was plenty of real life experience that I was able to draw upon.
sometimes that makes it a hit.
Yeah, which was not expected. I was not expecting it. And it really is like I had Andy on the show because I missed like making stuff with him, and like I said, we kind of lost touch. I truly, because you got to remember too, at that point, they were still, I mean, Knives and Pens had come out, and I think like Set the World on Fire maybe had come out. Yeah, it had. But I just did not think that there was going to be a trans, like that his average fan was going to want to watch a story about like a pudgy, awkward dude that Andy popped up occasionally. So that was not a part of my like, "Ooh, and they'll get him and then he'll bring in an audience." You know what I mean? Like it just never even, I kind of, it was the first and only time I underestimated the BVB army. The fact that people still come up to me and quote it and stuff makes, It just feels good to know, like, a web series we made like 12 years ago, people are still watching.
Out of all of the episodes, this might be a tricky one for you. Which one has been your favorite episode to film?
Man, I think season two to me is the closest to like the vision that I wanted to make, the tone, where it's still pretty, it's realistic, but it's heightened. There's a whole story arc with the girl I'm dating and everything. But I think season three was probably in the moment the most fun to film because I wanted to do a live action cartoon, basically. So that's where we have the Waldo stuff and Andy frolicking about in the flashbacks, and he's like a big Muppet. And we've got Dang Matt Smith as like his sidekick. I'm trying to remember his name, but yeah. And then we had Travis Coles playing, and it was just all that stuff. Even like the stuff that nobody probably got, like in the first episode of season three, when I just blatantly ripped off Castaway, the Tom Hanks movie. That whole scene where they held a funeral for me and everything, and the girl's already remarried and has a family and all that. Anyway, I think season three was probably the most fun. The Abraham Lincoln scene, I was so excited to have the whole twist of the show be the whole show took place. Spoiler alert! The whole show took place in the mind of Abraham Lincoln moments before he was assassinated. I can't imagine watching that for the first time as like a fan. Like, what the f? That had to be like the dumbest, like, but it made me so happy and it was so stupid. And going and having to like sit through casting sessions with Abraham Lincolns and the different people that like to do that is like that's what they want their profession to be. They have the whole outfit and everything. So much of that stuff was so fun and I just laughed so hard. My favorite episode probably was the finale of season two. When we had Juliet on, and that was when it's just crazy how quickly things have advanced technology-wise. Because it was a huge deal that we had a drone for the last shot where we go up to the sky. And it was like we had to like Pat had a friend of a friend, and it was this huge thing. And it was like we got a drone. This is like a real thing we're doing. And just the excitement of releasing all the episodes on the same day and all that. Yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
What would you say is like your most memorable moment when it comes to Average Joe?
Like memorable moment, like making it or from an episode or what,
Either or,
wherever I want to
like
go with
out
it.
of, yeah, just like out of the whole series that you did with it, is there like one moment that always sticks with you?
When we filmed with Andy and my buddy Travis, who played, oh my God, all the names are escaping me now. He was the black guy with who
Lady
shot out both of his eyes. Lady Fingers, thank you. Yes, Lady Fingers. Yeah, the Lady Fingers episode when he gets shot. At the beginning of season two, that's when I just knew that Andy was on board for whatever the hell I threw at him, because that was in the script. It surpassed whatever I could have imagined, and so yeah, I think that scene, that whole sequence, was just really fun. Knowing it was the second season, we were kind of really go for it. But then I think on a personal level, this was during like COVID. I drove cross country to see my family in Ohio a couple of times, and once at a random Starbucks in Missouri, the barista freaked out and quoted Average Joe to me. And then once at like a ga or a hotel in like bum South Carolina, the front desk person quoted the show to me. And so that's kind of what I was. It's not like this happens all the time unless I'm at like a BVB concert or something, and that I cherish those moments too. But every now and then when that happens, again, it's like the staying power of like a web series from 10 years ago, it just is a testament to like the great work that everybody involved in the show did, that it's still, people still remember it. The cast that we had was so great where now, to a degree, some new people were discovering it because Matt Rife, the comedian who's kind of blown up on Netflix, he had like a four episode arc in season two.
I'm so happy you brought that up because like, yeah, when I was watching it, my partner was just in the background just listening to it and not really paying attention. But then he looked up and saw him. Was like, oh my God, is that a younger Matt? I'm like, he's a famous comedian. And I'm like, I had no idea what he was talking about at first. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, he was like 18 and it was a friend of a friend who's like, hey, I'm managing this kid who just moved out here. So I would pick him up and drop him off, and he was a really nice guy. So anyway, it just I knew he'd been doing stand-up for years. But then when I saw he was like suddenly selling out arenas on a Live Nation tour, I was like, oh my God. So it's crazy. I could just add that to the name of people that have guest starred on the show.
So obviously Andy did cameo. Did you have did was it you or maybe you and Andy did get CC and Jake and Jinx involved too, or did they just wanted to come in too, or
Yeah, I knew, yeah, for that seven-ish episode, that was kind of like the springboard for season two crowdfunding. And so I wanted to give people a taste of like, this is what I want to do with the show. So if you help fund it, this is the type of shenanigans that you'll see. And I think I just asked them all. And at that point, Andy had been in a couple, so they kind of had, and I had gotten to know them a little bit. I think it was around that time that, because I was in the studio with them the whole time they made Wretched and Divine.
Yeah,
So I made like a
you did the
documentary.
behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, I really wanted to have like a fly on the wall type, non-polished kind of documentary that was put out on like one of the special edition releases of the album. But so I'd been in there, so I'd gotten to know them. So I think it was like during the recording of that that we filmed Seven-ish or something like that. So yeah, I just asked them, and then it was a combination of like Andy or me asking like Danny Warsnop and all the other people that that made cameos on there, Brian Logandales, and I'm gonna forget somebody, but yeah, I mean, and Danny was super fun to work with. That was a fun day of shooting. He was down. I found that it was easy working with musicians because it was just like they were just down for whatever.
Kind of coming away from Average Joe and going more towards the Andy Show, I was kind of curious if we could get a little bit of backstory on how the Andy Show kind of came about.
Yeah, it was a phone call from Andy. You know, he knows how to get going, and he just wanted to have a show. You know, much like I kind of wanted to have, one of the reasons I created Average Joe was to have a reason to work together on something. I think it was to a degree the same, vice versa, where he wanted that. But I think he also just wanted to do something that was a little more lo-fi, a little more straightforward, doesn't require all the pre-production, the scale of BVB stuff. Had a chance, I think, to, I'm just speaking for him, but probably just a chance to show another side of him, especially when I mean, because we've been doing it since 2016, which is crazy. And so, you know, at that point, yeah, I assume it was just to kind of flex a muscle that he hadn't really had a chance to, you know, when he's being the front man of the band. But yeah, it was just a call, like, let's do this. And so it came together fairly quickly. At first, we were shooting it at Blasco's office. It was like a building that did a lot of like they would send like Broadway merch to all the shows, and then sell it like in the lobby or whatever. So it was an odd space. It was kind of like it was offices for Blasco. They had like a factory kind of thing where they're making all this stuff. So behind us, you know, and then they just had this conference room they never used, and that's where we initially were filming. But that I think it was initially just a conversation, and it was like, hey, you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah. So we did.
I do remember coming across an, I think, yeah, a podcast. I don't remember the name of it, but Andy's mom, Amy, talking about it and how, like, I think it was elementary, how the teachers told Andy, like, this is not the Andy show and stuff. And then
Yes.
here it is.
Yeah. And I think he made note of that too. He's like, you know, it's always been the Andy show in my head anyway, so we might as well make it official. And so we did. But yeah, we've had a great time doing it. Again, I don't even know how many episodes we've done. We've talked about just like, you know, like announcing this is our 500th-ish episode because we might be over, we might
I
be
mean,
under, I don't know.
I've lost count. I have lost count. When it comes to the Andy Show, was there, like, again, kind of related to the Average Joe, like a particular moment that stuck with you the most with the Andy Show, like guest or like those weird challenges or guest shooting Andy with a Nerf gun?
Yeah, I think we did an episode where we kind of spoofed sitcoms where I had like a jacket and we added the fake laughter to. I mean, this was like in the first couple months. 'Cause yeah, we were trying all these different kind of like skits and bits and stuff and trying to make it almost more like a variety show or something. So it was fun to just kind of like we would brainstorm some, but just show up at the studio and again, just like interacting with friends and family was a lot of fun, you know, and realizing like, okay, I think this has legs. I think we can come up with some goofy stuff to do. Definitely the Nerf gun and all that stuff was fun. There was benefits to shooting in person, to filming in person, so that we could shoot each other in person. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, so I think early on it was just the kind of like, let's try it, gung ho attitude that just made it a lot of fun to do and interacting with people, and it was great.
It's very entertaining. One, I don't remember what episode, but one moment that lives rent free is I think you guys were doing the Whisper Challenge, and you
Yes.
had, oh my God, what was it? It's so, it's like
It
ball
was,
rats or
yeah, Mall Rat.
ball
I think
rats.
I had Mall, yeah, it was like, we were naming movies, and it was Mall Rats. Or no, it may not have been movies. It may have just been Mall Rat was the term. And yeah, he kept saying Ball Rat and this, that, and all the other that's, and I was losing my damn mind. And it's like, Mall Rat!
That lives rent free because, like, you're so like, Andy, you can read my lips. You stop.
Yep, he was f with me. I can almost guarantee it. Yeah, that, and then when we did the jelly bean challenge, and I got horrible flavor after horrible flavor. That was totally an accident. That was definitely not planned. I was like, this is insane. Those are the most vile things I have ever tasted in my life.
There was the Bean Boozled, right? That isn't that what they're called, Bean Bats
Yeah,
or something?
Bean
I just
Boozled.
call it the
Yep.
Harry Potter Birdie Bots every flavor jelly bean.
Sure. Yep.
There you go. Yeah,
Yep.
there's some disgusting ones in there.
Yeah, it was awful.
Like the barf one. Oh
Barf.
my
Ah.
God. I don't like earth one
Yes.
or like soap or there's grass and I don't even remember
But they have
what.
those in like drink and like soda flavors now, like barf flavor, ranch dressing, mustard.
Why?
You guys should look into doing it.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, that's one that we could actually do via Zoom. So
Yeah.
that's actually a good, yeah. We could bring Bean Boozled back. I think, as I've talked about how miserable I was, yes, let's do it again.
Who
I'm
else? This
voluntarily.
exactly. Roles can be reversed. You get the good ones and he gets the bad ones.
Hopefully it works out that way.
So, what are some elements that you like out of podcasting and acting?
They're definitely different. I like the acting side of it is can be therapeutic, because I've written and directed three features that are on Amazon that are more dramas, dramedies. And yeah, one was called Welcome to Forever, and we shot that up in Big Bear probably like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. That was like a movie about addiction for me and trying to get off of stuff. And then I did one called Mid to Late, which was just about somebody entering the lates of the 20s. And now I'm 36. It's so long ago. But yeah, getting a chance to like kind of exercise some demons, play somebody else that's still in my own voice. Again, I always like creating things, so it was fun to spend the time writing the script and learning the lines and all that stuff. Whereas podcasting can almost be the opposite, where you just kind of, I mean, for now, I mean, in case it's not abundantly apparent, Andy and I do no prep now on the show.
Yes.
I shouldn't say no. We generally are texting throughout the week and just kind of, hey, this happened, or just an idea of something. But not nearly as it would be crazy if there was as much planning as it goes into a full-length movie, obviously. And even beyond the Andy show, like I'm gonna be bringing back my personal podcast, Bad Times, Good Stories. Yeah, I'm excited about it too. It's time. And that was so much fun because it's just like I'm not naturally wanting to talk to people like in public and stuff. I can turn it on. But in the right setting, I love talking and asking questions and doing the stuff. And so doing my podcast was a great chance to, because most of the people I'd never met before, it was like I had a friend who was like my unofficial booker, and it was just a lot of kind of up and coming comedians, because I figured they'd have no problem talking about personal things. And for anybody who's not familiar, Bad Times, Good Stories is just a podcast where I had guests talk about like the time from their life that they're able to laugh about now. And I found it very cathartic, and I would share a story if it kind of fit the tone. And it was just a nice constant reminder that we're like all dealing with shit and we all have our baggage. And to be able to laugh about it was just so much fun, and getting to know people and just, again, like I just treated it like in conversation, we don't ask all of the questions that pop into our heads with people, and then this is the chance to just do that. So I think I like the spontaneous nature of podcasting. I like that I'm still creating something. I think having, whether it's like what y'all are doing, where you have your specific angle, like I think sometimes people are so eager to create a podcast that there's no theme or kind of like anything to ground it, and then it's just like two people bullshit. And I don't know. I mean, I've listened to really funny comedians do that, and I get bored and turn it off, But like, if you have some sort of world that you're playing in, a sandbox that you can create so that you have like some sort of context, it's just a lot of fun. And so living in an awkward world, as we've established, I'm very comfortable in that world. Listening to those types of crazy stories, I felt very comfortable and being able to laugh about it. So
I literally love that. I look forward to that.
Same.
thank you. Thank you.
For those fans or people who are watching or listening, you are an educator, right?
I am. Yep.
High
High
school?
school.
Yep.
Yep.
High
Yep.
school. So just out of curiosity, since you are an educator, I feel like I have it easier because I'm in elementary and like
Yeah.
my students don't give a about this stuff.
Yeah.
But like, since you're in high school, have any of your students come across any of your podcasts or Average Joe and let alone know that your cousin's with a rock star, Andy Biersack?
Yes. Yeah, my first year, there was a girl who waited until like the last month of school and just casually was like, I used to watch your show when I was younger, and it's pretty cool that you're my teacher. And I like so appreciated the way that she handled it, I was just like, oh, I'm so glad. Yes. And it is kind of crazy that now I'm your teacher. So yeah, there's been a couple, and there was one girl who made me laugh because she kind of said it like I was busted, like I found your podcast. And I was like, it's there. I hope you enjoy it. I'm an open book. I know some of those things are probably things you don't want to know about your teacher, so I'll leave that up to you if you stumble across it. And then yeah, I have some people that are there's a girl in particular who's a huge BBB fan, and so I haven't been able to make it happen, but I tried to get her, passes the last time they were in town. So yeah, there are some people. It's not really something I advertise. I might actually show some examples this year and just lean into it. I haven't decided yet. I have to be selective with what episode I
Nope, I
show.
get I, yes, I understand completely.
Even not even worried about parents or something, just like weird if I'm like, hey, watch me do this, like I don't know. So it doesn't happen often. I think that's where it's a benefit that it was a little while ago, that we first came out with the show. So, and there's been a couple kids who maybe didn't know that or were vaguely familiar with Black Veil. Yes, some people are familiar with who I am, but not many, and I like it. At first, it did feel like I was sort of like on the hunt, like I was like I had murdered somebody, and I was like, have a new identity, and I'm just waiting to get caught or something. Like, I was like, oh, they're gonna find out. It's there. I was like debating taking it down before I started teaching, and then I asked like a coworker, and they were like, eh, whatever, it's fine. It's clearly not a documentary. It was made years ago. It didn't feature children. Like, it's fine.
Stressed for nothing.
Yes. Oh, I had a lot of stress for nothing.
I
Yeah.
don't blame you for
That's.
that because, yeah, working as a teacher in some districts, they're watching us. We do have a couple of Black Veil Brides questions for you.
Yeah.
First thing is, we need to know, what is your favorite album of them?
Probably Wretched and Divine. Again, just because I was there for it. I think that was kind of like a big. Exactly. Okay, so I'm glad I'm not alone, it would appear, based on that reaction.
It's personally my favorite, and I enjoy the documentary that you made, so.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I just have fond memories of that whole process of making
Yeah.
it. And again, getting to spend time with all the guys. And I think that was kind of like a turning point for the band in a way. I think the music kind of took on a whole nother
Yeah.
level of brilliance. Yeah, I mean, just, top to bottom, I think it's just a great concept album. I love all the tracks. I mean, obviously, I think about my grandfather every time this is, or In the End comes on. And so, yeah, I would go Wretched and Divine.
So what would you say your favorite Black Veil Brides song is? Although I feel like I might have a hunch, but
Yeah, I think in the end, probably, which is kind of a
you
basic choice.
knew
I get that
it.
that's the big hit,
It is a big hit.
beyond it just slapping hard, there's just the personal connection to it as well. So yeah, I mean, I would go with that, and I'm terrible with song titles, but I mean, there's always, I mean, I love Bleeders, you know, like if I had to pick in the end, it's probably.
We still had to ask, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Of course, we need to know
Yep.
you.
I mean, you wouldn't be the BVB journalist if you didn't ask, right? You got to ask the hard-hitting
Exactly.
questions.
Exactly. I mean, I know you talked about Bleeders, but what do you think of this new EP, this new Sweeney Todd era that they're in right now?
I mean, it's just the video blew my mind. I didn't really know anything about it when I saw watched it, and I was like, this is incredible. And for me, it's just fun because like him dressing up, Andy dressing up as Sweeney Todd is the same stuff he was doing when he was 8 years old, you know? And so
Yeah,
to get to do it
definitely.
now, it's just the coolest to see it. And yeah, I mean, the music is phenomenal, and I continue to be impressed with the fact that there's no songs about like shaking your ass or, you know, like it's just, when I listen to the radio, I get really sad. And I know that pop music is pop music, but I had an appreciation for it for a long time, and now I just don't. And so the fact that they can continue to find something of worth to talk about and find new ways to talk about being yourself and standing up for yourself and, you know, like, to have a message behind your music, and not just one song on the album that is like, oh, this is our, you know, we are the world or whatever. It's just like each song is has something to say, and I
Right.
feel like there's not that many bands that you can say that about.
I agree 100%. I think that's why Black Veil Brides has the fan base that they do.
Yeah, I think so too. I think because you can see the thought behind
Oh, yeah.
everything that, you know, goes into what they create. Hard rock isn't really even my go-to choice, you know? I'm more of like the Avid Brothers or Dawes or sort of more bluegrassy kind of folky stuff a little bit. But I think it's a testament to their abilities that somebody who isn't naturally drawn to that still listens to every album and on repeat and knows the words and everything else, regardless of him being my cousin. You know, it's really talented musicians doing their thing and lyricists and everything else, so.
Cole, you should ask him your signature question that we ask fans when they come.
Okay, so I'm sure you're obviously aware about all the albums, so you know the OG We Stitch These Wounds and that they created the remastered version, Restitch These Wounds. So, in your personal opinion, which one is your favorite, the We Stitch or Restitch?
It's hard to compare, even though they're the same songs for me. I mean, they would probably just call it the shittiness of the recording of the originals through no fault of their own. But, you know, some might call it that. Some could just call it the rawness of the originals. I mean, honestly, if I listen to Restitch far more often, so I guess that's my answer without really being aware of it. Just because they'd grown as musicians in that time. You know, Andy had grown as a vocalist. So I guess I would go Restitch, because that's the one that I listen to more often.
All
How
right.
about you guys? Where did you land on?
Oh man. Okay.
You prefer the
I mean, for
original?
me personally, I have all the albums in my car, so I can admit that I go back and forth. I will listen to the original We Stitch These Wounds, and then I will switch it to Restitch. It is hard to pick like which one is like a personal favorite because I admire everything that they did from the original because they were just starting off, and for them to start off with such a low budget, I think they did a fantastic job. I think on previous episodes, I did state that the Wee Stitch was forever my favorite, but I gotta hand it to them. I do think I would pick Restitch just for the sole purpose of Lonnie being on there and for all of them. They clearly had a vision in their head of what they wanted that album to be, and Restitch, I think, was exactly that.
Yeah. Well said.
Ditto.
Oh, thank you.
Ditto. Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. Yeah, I mean and that's where I was having a hard time with it because I go back to how I was so proud of Andy when I was first listening to Wee Stitch, because he was like 19 and he was like, he's doing it. That's so awesome. Because you gotta understand, and I'm sure you do because you are deep in this world, but like for me, it was fairly awkward growing up because he was a rock star in his head. And so he would sit me on his bed and perform, like covers to like Misfit songs to me. And I had the theatrical background as like acting. So it was just different. But for me, it was just like, I just didn't see the vision. You know what I mean? Like to me, it was just like, we're sitting in your bedroom and you're performing to me. But in his head, he saw everything that was, you know what I mean? So it was really cool. I remember driving out to LA when I moved out here. And I was listening to We Stitch These Wounds. And I was just, I had ideas for music videos in my head and stuff, and I could visualize stuff. And even beyond that, I was just so happy for him and proud of him and everything. So that's why I was reluctant because they're just too very. And I was there for a decent amount of the Restitch filming. We were documenting that for the BVB Patreon during COVID. So I was kind of there for that. So there's not that sort of romanticized vision of or memories of it. It's more current, obviously, and they had all grown so much since then. So anyway, two very different albums, even though they're the same songs. The memories that are associated with them are very different.
I think we are into our little goofy questions for you. So
Okay.
this first one comes from a very, you should know this person very, very well. Who is your favorite uncle and why is it Chris?
My favorite uncle has got to be Chris Biersack, without a doubt. It was a totally unleading question. You weren't leading me at all with it.
By
It's
the way,
Chris because
that came from Chris himself.
you don't say. You don't say. I thought it was my Uncle Mike who sent that question in. It would have to be Chris Biersack, because he was the first adult I remember thinking, this guy's cool. He seemed more like when I was younger, he just seemed like an older brother to Andy than like a dad, you know? And I just didn't, because we would come like one weekend a month, Columbus to Cincinnati. It was like 2 hours. And so he would take us to like card shows and sporting events and movies and toy stores and all that kind of stuff. So it was just like, this guy's awesome, you know? And yeah, he was one of the first adults to. It's so funny because I've mentioned this before. It's like a weird thing that it's always in my head when I think of Chris. But he was like one of the first adults I genuinely made laugh. I remember they came up to Columbus to go to a minor league baseball game with us, and Andy was complaining about being thirsty. He was probably like 4 or something, and I was 6 or 7, and I just told him to drink your spit, and Chris found that to be hilarious. And I just remember thinking, I like making adults laugh. This is fun. Hilarious may not even be the right word. Perhaps in my head, that's what it was. And he just was like amused and was like, huh. But even to this day, 30 years later, I can still. So, anyway, very fond memories with my favorite uncle, Chris Biersack.
So we have a question that we ask all guests that come on the show.
Okay.
You can take your time with it. Mentally prepare yourself for this question here. It's gonna be a really hard one, just so you know.
Super hard.
But
Okay.
if you could have any five liquids come out of your fingers, what would they be?
You can control the liquids. It's unlimited.
Yes.
And it's any liquid.
Anything that can be a liquid, yeah.
Oh boy. These are the hard-hitting questions. Five liquids. Okay. I'm gonna go water out of my pinky.
Called
Yeah,
it.
it's my practical choice, right? You even called the pinky? Wow, that's
I just
impressive.
knew water was going to be in there no matter what.
Okay,
I feel like water's
yep,
everyone's.
yeah,
You have to have water.
Of course, it's
yeah.
universal.
I mean, if I have five, water, I would go with the Blue Mondo Squeeze It liquid. Remember Squeeze Its?
Wait, squeeze it.
Why does it sound so weird?
Yeah. They
Is
were
it?
like sugar water that was in a bottle, or it was a plastic squeeze bottle that you could drink. It was at lunch. It was I might be dating myself. You can
All I can
Google
think of is Capri
Squeeze-Its.
Sun. Yeah,
Yeah,
because
it's
it's
in the
like,
Capri Sun family.
yeah. No.
But it was more it was a more fun delivery system. It was kind of like it was like a beer bottle for kids, but it was plastic and it had a little cap thing that
Oh,
you'd
I gotta
twist
look this
off.
up.
Yes.
Oh,
Squeeze
no, I did have
it.
those. I did. The blue flavor is the best flavor,
Yes,
just so you
the Blue
guys know.
Mondo. That's what
Blue,
I'm
all the
saying.
way, all the way
That's
blue.
it.
Yes.
So anyway, I would have that.
Blue squeeze it, blue. Okay.
Yeah, Blue Squeeze It juice. what else would I go with? I'd go with like a vanilla Wendy's Frosty. Now that's is that liquid form?
Consider that
I
a
mean,
liquid.
ice cream can be liquid. It melts
Yeah.
into
When it
liquid,
melts,
so I
yeah.
mean.
Consider that a liquid, yeah.
If it's, because I feel like milkshakes are on the spectrum of liquid because
Yeah.
sometimes they make them too thick and that
True.
drives me crazy. When you
True.
can't, if I can't slurp it up with a
Yes,
straw after like an
I
hour,
know.
I'm like, what are we
And you have
doing
to use a
here?
spoon. Yes.
Yeah. I'm like,
Not
no,
even the
I.
worst.
This is
No.
the delivery system of ice cream. The straw is the delivery system of a milkshake.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. So Wendy's vanilla
So,
milkshake, we will count that.
yes. Frosty. Vanilla Frosty.
Frosty,
Thank
sorry,
you.
Frosty.
Thank you. I feel like the pointer one's got to have some pizzazz. What do I? Vitamin water. I'll go vitamin water. Yeah. The adult squeeze it, if you will.
Yes.
Also sugar water, but they just throw a bunch of words on it to make it seem like it's somehow,
Vitamin.
yeah, vitamin water. Yep, they have plenty of vitamin C in that, yeah. Scooby-Doo fruit snacks and vitamin water. That's how you can get your vitamin C, so you know it's healthy.
I don't know if you were able to see the episode when Andy came on our show. We asked him the exact same question.
Yeah, what did he say?
He was very particular for each liquid. So he would say, pointer finger would be, oh, what he said, barbecue sauce? Yes,
It was
barbecue.
barbecue sauce was the pointer
Sure.
sauce.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
then the middle finger would have to be honey mustard. So pa-pow, pa-pow.
So he went condiment route. That's true.
And
Because he lives
then
on condiments.
his thumb would be olive oil for cooking and stuff.
Sure. Yep.
His other finger would be water, again, staple.
Sure. Yeah.
And then he was very specific about the pinky. He said it would be a snow cone flavor called tiger's blood. And he said if he had the amount of ice, he could just make himself a snow cone.
Yeah, that all checks out. Yeah, I should have. Now, see, I will admit, Chick-fil-A sauce did cross my mind. Although, honestly, I think I would go Raising Cane's sauce. I'll have
Yes.
one condiment. I will follow the family tradition and include one condiment. So I will say Raising Cane's sauce.
If you have any questions for us, if not, no worries.
What was the process of this podcast beginning?
From your favorite uncle.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Chris who came up with this idea.
Really? What? How did y'all get in touch with them and everything?
So, okay, I'm gonna try to make the long story short as best as I can. It was through Chris where I've actually met Nicole because, like, COVID years and stuff. I
Yeah.
wanted to, had this idea in my head. I did it on my own personal YouTube channel where I wanted to hear BVB fan stories and kind of make a montage of all of it and put it out for BVB month and stuff and BVB day. And I think Chris saw the TikTok I made of it because I was not expecting just to get, like, I was hoping, like, oh, I'll get two or three at the most. I'm okay with that. But he was
Yeah.
nice enough to see that and share it. And he DM'd Nicole, like, hey, I think this would be an awesome thing you can do and stuff. And so she DM'd me, and that's how we met. And the video came out. And then I had a Zoom conference with Chris for my personal channel. And when we were done recording, he kind of brought up the idea, like, oh, I've been thinking of starting a podcast and blah, 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 blah. I would really love you to help me and stuff. So I think the idea was for him to start, but then he's like, no one wants to listen to an old guy ramble. So that's when he's like, I think you should do it and you should have a co-host. And I'm like, And so he's like, he recommended Nicole. And I'm like, because you guys just had bounced off each other really naturally. And so
Yeah.
we all came together, came up with the name, and went on from
That's
there.
fantastic.
Yeah.
So that was during the pandemic?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
Yeah,
you guys
like,
have been doing it for a couple years now.
Yeah, we
That's
have.
great. Again, it's like it's great to have things like this that you're passionate about and that, you know, it doesn't feel like a chore. I think that's why I stopped doing mine for a little while. It just started to feel like a chore and I was like, I'm not making any money off this. Like this needs to be something. I need to refine the passion, you know, and now I think like now I understand like the balance of like work and then the other stuff that makes us happy, you know. So that's why. So I'm glad that you guys have this. I'm glad that you have an avenue to talk about something you're passionate about and talk with other people who are passionate
Yeah,
about it.
we deeply enjoy it. It's become our therapy and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's see. I mean, I am a podcaster. I should have questions for y'all. What was the first BVB show that y'all went to?
You go, Nicole, you go first.
Okay. My very first Black Veil Brides show was the AP tour. It's when I think they had drugs and, oh man, Versa Emerge, I think, or an I See Stars that was like opening up for them and all that. But the AP tour was my first Black Veil Brides show. I want to say I was in 11th grade. That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mine was, I was in high school, I was 15 years old, and it was the Pins and Needles tour. So they were touring with, oh my God, I can't remember half of the members of the band. So there was one like a Japanese artist type one, and then I can't remember because they were not headlining, they were like co-headlining. I can't remember the other. It's been a minute, but yeah,
Okay. Yeah.
that was my first one and first rock concert too, ever. So
Nice.
yeah.
Yeah, my first time seeing them, I think was 2009 or 10. They were playing like, I want to say it was like a church rec room or something. And again, it just speaks to like, even then there was probably like maybe 250, 300 people there. And you know, it was all very primitive like stage stuff. But already it was so cool to just see like it's happening. It's
Yeah.
slow, you know, like you gotta have a little bit of an imagination to see what Andy's seeing, but you could see like where it was headed, you know, and I just remember walking out like, huh, well, I think it's happening. So yeah, that was my first time seeing them. And I may be wrong about that. It was some sort of like it was kind of a random place for a show, but it was like, you know, they made it work.
All right, BBB Army, that officially wraps up today's episode. Joe, we just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and chat with us. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you for answering all of our questions. And thank you for having questions for us. For anyone that wants to go ahead and give Joe a follow, all of his platforms are going to be in the description below. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you are watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And remember, we are on all streaming platforms. You can literally check us out anywhere that there is a podcast. We are on there. Until then, we will see you next week, BBB Army.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for having me on, y'all.